Friends, have you ever been listening in on a conversation and you understand parts of it and maybe other parts of it and maybe even 90% of the conversation, but then the rest of it is lost on you? Or like when you listen to another language that's kind of similar to your own. For instance, I speak English and Spanish, and sometimes I'll hear Italian and I'll understand some of it, but not all of it. And so you get some of the picture, but not all of the picture. Well, you know what? That's how it is even with our own Christian faith. It's like it's all one big inside joke. And the people that would have understood the most would have been the Jewish people. They would have understood the whole message the most. Now, we get a lot of it, but there's a lot of things that come from the Jewish faith that we do not understand. So when we hear it in the scriptures, we don't get it. For instance, we are in the feast and the week of Holy Week, and there's a lot of things connected to seven feasts of the Jewish faith from the time of Jesus. So we're going to talk about those in today's video, just an introduction so that we can begin understanding what Jesus is trying to tell us. Join me in today's video. Friends, please pray with me. Holy Spirit, this is a week of mercy given to us by Jesus. Pour yourself out on us in this video, on everyone that listens, that we may all be blessed by receiving God's mercy, His salvation, His purification, and sanctification. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, this is a channel Uniquely Mary. My name is Alvaro. It is great to be here with you on Good Friday of Holy Week. What an awesome day. Nothing can go wrong today. Whatever happens today, we need to be happy no matter what, because today is the day that we were saved. And it is so awesome. Everyone that believes in Jesus and really accepts Him and follows what He teaches is on the path of salvation. It's so awesome. So if you love this channel, like this video, hit the like button. Also, if you want to support, I'll put some links down for ways for you to support this channel. Always keep me in your prayers and know that simply by watching these videos, you are being prayed for. I pray for you. I always pray for those that watch my videos. And if you do not watch my videos, I cannot pray for you because there are way too many prayer intentions. So please keep praying for me and let's keep going. So we are talking about the seven major feasts of the Jewish faith at the time of Jesus. From what I know, there are some feasts that have been added afterwards. Now, I am not an expert on this, but I am someone who is learning with you, wanting to teach you. And I've been hearing all these things for so many years, and I've always wondered, what is that? What is that? And it's super significant because Jesus wants it so. So you're going to understand why. So stay today in this video, and you will see how this is significant for what happens today and what we call the Triduum, which is Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. Okay, so if you want to go to the Bible, in Leviticus chapter 23, God gives these seven feasts to the Jewish people. And He has them in sort of three separate times, but He gives details about them, and they're all based on the lunar calendar, by the way. The Jewish people, their calendar was based on the lunar calendar, so the days would kind of shift. Unlike us, you know, the Roman West is based on the solar calendar. So that's why sometimes when we try to understand what was happening at the time of Jesus, we get confused. For instance, in a previous video, I was trying to make sense of the timeline before Jesus died, and I think I got some details wrong. But if you look at other scholars, they're not in agreement either, because it's difficult to coincide these two calendars. So the Jews were on the lunar calendar. So these feasts were based on that, based on those months, and they were also based on certain feasts of the harvest. Now, this isn't strange. Many of the ancient religions celebrated their feast based on harvest, fertility god. So for instance, this is something that's so interesting. Easter is named after Ishtar, which is a pagan goddess of fertility. Weird. Why would we take that name for Easter? We should call it Resurrection Sunday or something like that. But for some reason, it's called Easter. I don't exactly know when that happened. If you know, put in the comments. Let's talk about this. It's an interesting discussion. So in ancient religions, these celebrations were connected to festivals of harvest, lunar festivals, solar festivals, observance of things in the stars. They were very connected to the earth and astronomical signs. So God, kind of taking that and wanted to take it one step further, gifted the Jewish people with these seven feasts, and I will be listing them right here. And please do more research on your own so that we can learn together. So the first one is, and I'll be reading this so you see that I'm not the expert, but I'm here as a student and a teacher. So Passover, this is the most common one. This was the first and the greatest feast. It would come in the spring. God wanted it in the first month of the Jewish calendar, Nisan, not the car, but the Jewish month. And it typically was on the 14th or the 15th of Nisan. This is where they were enslaved to Egypt. They got an unblemished lamb. And then with the blood of the lamb, they marked the doorpost. And they marked it probably something like that. Looks familiar. As Catholics, we do. Right? So kind of same sort of idea. They were marking the entrance of their house with the blood of this, what would have been like essentially like a sinless lamb, unblemished lamb. And the symbolism was we're marking the sinlessness on our doorpost so that we can kind of partake in that lamb's sinlessness so that we don't have to die. And if they were to do that, the angel of death would pass over them and would go to the other houses that were not marked, the Egyptian people, and would kill the firstborn. Now, why that was happening is a whole other story about why God would have asked that, but there's a very important reason why. We'll talk about that in another video. And so that's essentially the Passover, celebrating that particular moment. And that was, after that happened, the Pharaoh commanded them to go out and to leave Egypt. So it was basically the beginning of their liberation. So the Passover celebrates them being passed over death and their liberation. So just after that, as soon as that feast is finished, God commanded the people to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now this has a connection to them because as soon as they went out into the desert, they would take bread with them, but they couldn't take leavened bread because it takes too much time to rise. So they had to bake the bread, basically like what we would call like a pita bread, bake it as fast as possible and get out of there. So unleavened bread has this kind of symbolism of we're running, we're on a roll, we're on pilgrimage, we're out of here, we're not staying here, we're in passing. And also leaven in kind of Jewish thinking sometimes represented evil. That's why Jesus, for instance, talks about the leaven of the Pharisees. Sometimes leaven is a symbol of evil and malice. I'm not sure why, but it was. And so unleavened bread also had the symbolism of purity. So they would have a feast of unleavened bread for 7 days, kind of the symbol of perfection. So you would have the Passover right after that, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then right after that, the Feast of the First Fruits. Now this is a little bit confusing because it was to be celebrated on the morrow after the Sabbath, which was sometime after probably the first day of the leavened bread. So these feasts were all coincided. Why was this important? Jesus died on the Passover. He was buried in the midst of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and he was raised on the Feast of the First Fruits. Now the Feast of the First Fruits was, the name might imply, a thanksgiving for the fruits of the earth, the first grain of the season. And they would offer that to God. Thank you. Thank you, God, for giving us this food. The first fruits, kind of like the tenth, tithing. And so this would have made sense. So Jesus was taking these feasts and transforming them, I like to say, into version 2.0 Christianity. He took these three main feasts. Then on the Feast of Weeks, 7 weeks after the Feast of the First Fruits, 50 days after the Feast of the First Fruits, they were going to celebrate the Feast of the Harvest. Does that make sense? So they would celebrate the first fruits, and then the harvest would come 50 days later, which would have been around kind of the beginning of June, sometime around that. So typically those first three feasts would have been in March or April, as we have them now, typically Lent and Easter. And then what happens 50 days after Easter? You're right, Pentecost. They have the same name. Whereas for the Jews, it was a symbol of kind of harvest, a harvest festival, thanking God for the wheat harvest. For us, it's different. We think of it as a, it's Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we can think of it as harvesting these new disciples and new apostles who are followers of Jesus. So our celebrations are paralleling these feasts that God instituted, and God wanted that. That's why it's important for us to remember. So we have Passover, then we have Feast of Unleavened Bread, we have the Feast of the First Fruits, and then 50 days later, the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. Then now, skipping to around September, you have three other feasts, and these are a little bit more mysterious, something that we should probably think about and research a little bit more. So the next one is called Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets. So listen to this. This marks the beginning of the civil year and is a Jewish New Year's Day. God commanded the blowing of trumpets on the first day of the seventh month to call the congregation of Israel together for a very solemn assembly. According to Jewish teachings, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of 10 days of judgment when all the children of men pass before the Creator. The righteous are written in the book of the life. And the wicked are condemned, and those who are not wholly righteous or not nor wholly wicked are given 10 days to repent and thus escape judgment. Interesting. Rosh Hashanah. What does that sound like? That sounds like judgment. How we talk about Christian judgment. For those of you that are not Catholics, you have to admit it. It's going to sound like what I'm talking to you. How do Catholics think of judgment? If you're fully holy, you go to heaven. If you're fully sinful, you go to hell. If you're on the fence, you love Jesus, but you're not really following him too clearly, you got things to purify, you go to purgatory. Are you saved? Yes. Everyone in purgatory, are they saved? Yes. But you have to purify your imperfections, because nothing imperfect enters heaven. And that's part of Christian responsibility. Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to be irresponsible. He dies on the cross so that we can be saved, but we have to take account for our sins. Therefore, we have to go to purgatory, something Jesus established. And you have a prefiguring it in this feast of Rosh Hashanah, where it says, those who are not wholly righteous nor wholly wicked are given 10 days to repent and thus escape judgment. So it's like a time of purification. Interesting. Wow. Very cool. So now two more feasts. Yom Kippur. Probably many of you have heard about this. This is, I think, an awesome feast. So those 10 days of repentance lead to the most solemn day of the Jewish year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the only day when the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies. So this was like on this day, it's basically like this big day of confession. And they would sacrifice the blood of animals, begging for the forgiveness of sins for the people for that whole year. And then because of that sacrifice and all these sins are being forgiven, they're able to enter into the Holy of Holies. And it's one of their most solemn feasts. So cool. Really awesome. Yom Kippur. Every time I've read about it, I think that is so awesome. Finally, Sukkoth. The seventh and final feast is a feast of booths or tabernacles, known in Hebrew as Sukkoth. In Bible days, this was the final fall harvest festival, a time of ingathering at Jerusalem. The Jewish people built booth-like structures and lived in them during the feast as a reminder of the temporary dwellings the Israelites had in the wilderness. And then even today, many people do this. So this is just a short introduction to these seven feasts. I am not an expert, but I am a student with you as far as this. But keep learning more about it. They're related to our faith. We need to understand these. My friends, God bless you. Have a beautiful day. See you in the next video.